everyone till tonight's meeting, and hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented time, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Attendees in the chamber, I don't know if we have anybody today, must switch off their delicate microphone when they are not speaking. Attendees in the chamber using their laptops to join the meeting virtually must ensure that they mute their laptop speakers and laptop microphones. At home, you must mute your laptop microphone when you're not speaking, and should, where possible, use a headset, headphones or earphones. All attendees should pin the cameras of the chamber and the chair in their team meetings by right-clicking on each and selecting pin. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you physically are in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. And just to remind everybody, as I'm sure everybody knows, type Q for a question, P for propose, and S for second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messenger. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or a seconder. This should be done using the instant messaging feature. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to vocally state that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messenger feature so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Sorry, Sarah has sent me that through and she has updated it and load data tell us. So yes, so this is my first back now from Christmas. So I just want to start off by thanking Jerry for chairing while I was off. I know that he kept you all in line, I think, and everything went well, held it all together. So thank you, Jerry, and thank you everybody for your kind remarks and that. Very much appreciate it. So we'll get stuck in. And Don, I don't know, did you hear there that Councillor Traynor isn't attending tonight?
I did indeed, and I've also got an apology this evening from Councillor Malone, Chair.
Yes. And then Councillor Casey is possibly dropping off at 7.
No problem. Thank you. That's great.
Okay. Item number 2 on the agenda.
Apology from Michael Lipset as well.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Sorry. I forgot to note Michael. Item number 2, declarations of interest. I know Councillor McKevitt has declared an interest in item number 21. Okay, no other declarations. So item number 3, action sheet arising from AHC Communities Committee held on the 15th of March. any arising matters. Okay, if I'm correct in saying, sorry, my chat doesn't always go right here. So, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, it's in relation to the rabbit bins. And first of all, I'd like to pay tribute to the PCSP and all for the excellent work they've done in rolling the rabbit bins out across the district. You know, want to know any updates in relation to the rabbit bin for the Bridge Centre Killalea. Thank you.
Sure, maybe I can pick up on that. Members considered the paper in relation to the rapid bins last month at AHCs, and approval was given for the 7 locations to proceed. I know there were queries from some members at last month's meeting around some of the requests they had put in for an additional rapid bin, and I've gone back to you individually and asked the PCSP to keep those areas in consideration. So hopefully, Chair, if there's future rapid bins going into the district, it will be in those areas as indicated by members.
Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks, Janine, for the update. Much appreciated.
Okay, Charlie, I see that P. So I'm going to go ahead to Cathy.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, it was just on the play strategy update. Just see if there was any update on, well, first of all, the new build. To Connacht in particular, and the consolidations, just to see where we are at with those, specifically the Hillfoot 1 and Hillfoot 2.
Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Obviously, going through those consultant processes, Katie, I can come back to you directly and give you a specific update on those exact play parks, if that'll be helpful.
Happy enough, Cathy. Okay, Councillor
McCabot. Yeah, thanks, Leanne. Just ask Paul, has he an update on the Darlecca playing fields?
Yeah, there's actually an item on the report, which is for noting from memory here, I think it's item 11, the expressions of interest. And so that's in the report, but essentially moving to stage 2.
Okay. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. And just for, it's more or less as long as the name is Councillor Mason. I do welcome the inclusion of the consolidations in Hillfoot and Ballinhinch and also Dara Cross. But Paul, as I say, I appreciate an update. I know you're going to get back to Councillor Mason with her query, but I would say look forward to hearing from you in due course as well in relation to Ballinhinch and Dara Cross. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Andrews, just to clarify, I think one of my officers came back to you last week about, I think, Dara Cross at least on the last month's meeting. Was that correct?
I'll have to check the emails. Just there's been that much in, Paul. I'll get back to you. Just
no problem.
But thanks very much.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so I need a proposer and seconder. So Councillor Casey is proposing. And Councillor Andrews. Sorry, Councillor Mason is seconding. Thank you. Okay, so item number 4 on the agenda is notice of motion, mental health. I know that Councillor Howell wasn't available to come, so Councillor Mason is going to take this one. So, Cathy, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, it was just to basically welcome the report that the councillors had, the officials had brought forward. Look, we all know that there's a mental health crisis at the minute, and resulting from this COVID pandemic, and it's left many children and young people very, very anxious. So I know that's why my colleague Councillor Howell had brought this motion to the council. We do know, and we'll all have seen it now in DEA, the excellent work that has been done in terms of wellbeing and what the DEA coordinators have been doing to address mental health issues. But I think Councillor Hyle had, it's been highlighted in the report as well, but I think Councillor Hyle had just wanted to make sure that there was a new emphasis put on it. So I know that she has welcomed the report and would like to see the budget and that allocated as a matter of priority, just to try and give these young people the tools that they're going to need to build some resilience over the next number of months and years. So thanks.
Not at all, thank you. Janine, I see that Councillor Andrews has a question there. Do you want to come in first to give a wee update with regards to the report?
Chair, it was actually more comments, but what I'll do is I'll defer to the officer, and then once the officer's finished, I'll come back in and make a comment. Thank
That's
you.
That's okay, no bother.
Chair, just to draw attention to the report, I think Councillor Mason has covered most of it anyway. The report highlights some of the activity, a snapshot of the activity that's ongoing in relation to mental health. That's just within the DEAs. There's a whole host of other initiatives ongoing within both Paul and the one section. So it's to put that activity in context, but also to seek permission or approval this evening for the recommendations contained within, which is that mental health would be added to the agenda items for upcoming DEA forum meetings, and that the coordinators would continue to engage and enhance their current levels of engagement with existing providers, and that we would seek urgently agreement from the hub to ring fence resources from the COVID response money and to fund additional programs through the DEAs and under the watchful eye of the coordinators. So, Chair, we need approval for that paper.
Okay, well, I see that both Councillor Mason and has proposed and Councillor O'Hara has seconded. And Councillor Andrews, do you want to come in for comment?
Thank you very much, Chair. And more or less, I do welcome the spirit of the motion, and I agree very much with the sentiments that has been expressed. And I would like to say thanks, Janine, for this follow-up to the recent worthwhile motion. And the SALP are happy to support the recommendations that have been highlighted in the report. And again, it is a very important topic. And as I say, we do appreciate the efforts that are going to be given in relation to us from the council. So happy to support Chair. That's a good motion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Okay, so item number 5 on the agenda is the Peace Plus consultation. Janine?
Yes, Chair. Again, the paper details the consultation process is currently underway in relation to Peace Plus. And just for information, that's the follow-on from the Peace Corps programme that's currently running through Council. Within the paper, there's a timeline detailing how we would like to progress through the consultation with members and key stakeholders. The main issue for Council is, as with a number of these consultations, the closing date means that we will not be able to submit something with full approval. So we're seeking tonight approval from members to submit a draft response to SEUPB on Peace Plus, and then allow us to present, engage as detailed in the paper, and present to members both in the Peace Corps partnership and also at AHC, looking for full council ratification in May then. And the second recommendation, Chair, relates to the additional resources that we will require as a council to deliver the Peace Plus plan. So it's just approval for officers to go and start looking up that proposal in terms of what the resource in May looks like.
Okay. And well, Councillor Andrews is happy to propose this, and Charlie, Councillor Casey seconding.
Yes, Chair, happy enough to support the recommendations that have been outlined by Janine. So I think it's a very good project for Peace Plus, taking over from Peace Four. So only too happy to support the recommendations and propose to go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Okay, item number 6, Community Coordination Hub.
Community Coordination Hub, Chair members, this is our monthly report from the Coordination Hub. The main discussion at this hub meeting was around the end of the current food pallet scheme, some additional funding down from DFC, and also discussion centres around how we would align with other existing groups and partnerships. So we're just seeking approval as usual for the actions contained within that action sheet. Happy to take any questions, of course.
Yep, well, Barrett's happy to propose. Just need a seconder. Councillor McKevitt has a question.
Yeah, thanks, Leanne. Janine, I was just wondering, would this be open to any new groups that didn't uptake the funding in the first place, in the first round for food or essential items with COVID, but they're very much active in the community, and maybe just will it be open to them, or will it be just to the existing groups that have delivered on them in the past?
They have, and previously, Karen, what they do within the hub is they'll allocate a portion of funding to go out through financial assistance, which means that all groups in the district can apply. So that's the first thing in terms of equality. The second part of it is that the representatives on that forum from the community sector represent the strategic stakeholder forum, which is the umbrella group for community associations across the district. So by default, there's plenty of opportunities for all groups to get involved.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a million. Just I suppose on the back of Karen's comments, Janine, you know, it's a good move that community hub, and that I suppose we'll be all hopeful that we're coming towards the end of the like a food pallet and that type of thing. But I suppose the most important aspect, the whole experience, is that we've gotten it right, and that I've said this whenever this was being set up, whenever that hub was being set up, that it's there for the future, that the only bright thing that might have come out of the last year is that we recognise and we have identified the areas and the communities who are at most risk and who needed the most support, and that, you know, everything we do as a council from now on moving forward should be bearing all that in mind, you know, whenever there's funding opportunities and whenever there's building communities and developing and capacity building and that we should always, and we as councillors should always be cognizant of the areas in our communities that needed the support that we were able to support as a council, and that it's on record now, and it's through the community hub and the like of it, that there'll be support for those groups forever and a day, you know. So as I say, I started off by saying hopefully we're coming out of the back end of a global pandemic, and hopefully there's a brighter future in that, but that we've got the things in place that if anything like this was ever to happen again, we'll be quick on the response and we'll know exactly where to target.
Do you want me to come back in on that?
Janine, if you have anything to add, go ahead.
Just to say that, yes, absolutely, we want to protect this coordination hub and the work and the relationships that have been built. You will recall we brought a paperwork committee previously to amend the terms of reference of that group to allow us to look at other things outside of just COVID response. There's a paper further on down the agenda which references additional money coming in from DFC and how we are going to be using this to go through the hub for a transitional pot of money. So to move from reaction and COVID response into this longer term strategic approach. So yes, it's all there, and DFC have heard us and they're providing the funding to make sure that the longer term needs are being met as well. So from our end, it seems positive.
Leanne, can I just come back in with one quick comment on that?
Yes.
Yeah, just on Barrs, and we're probably on the same wavelength on everybody, but it's just with furlong and all of that coming nearly to an end for a lot of people, where they're going to go back to work. The feeling on the ground is, and not just on the ground, but in higher level of government, is that the unemployment level is going to go up now, with the return where businesses not going to open and are reopen, and you know there's going to be a new difficulty on people that they haven't faced before. Yes, they've had the 20% maybe reduction in their salary that they were probably able to cope with, but to have to go back then with no job, there's going to be a new opening that, and I think it's very, very important that in the transition of the longer recovery of COVID, that this group keeps that in mind, that it's not just the ones that we were targeting in the past. There's going to be a new poverty, if you like, or crisis, if you like, in unemployment for people. I have no doubt that all of the groups involved have their finger on the pulse, and they know that this is probably something that they're keeping their eye on. Just that us as council, we need to keep focus on that as well, that's coming at us. Thanks.
No problem at all, Karen. Thank you. So I got a proposer from Barra and seconded by Cherry, Councillor O'Hare. All right, and I see Michael has joined the meeting as well. So, Michael, if there's anything, don't be afraid to jump in. So item number 7 is the District DEA Forms Update Report.
Yes, Chair, members, this is our monthly report in from the DEAs. And the only difference this month is following on from discussions at individual DEAs and at committee last month. You had asked us to look at some type of a reward or recognition for the groups that assisted us with COVID response. So the recommendations contained within the report that we would, as council, present a plaque to those groups who were proactive in COVID response, and that we would work through our DEAs and the DEA coordinators to present those plaques at a later stage. This follows on from a previous letter by the Chief Executive where she personally thanked volunteers, so it's a wider council recognition for the groups involved.
Okay, so proposed by Councillor O'Murray and seconded by Councillor Mason. And Councillor McMurray would like to make a comment.
No, Chair. Thank you very much. I just think the ideas of the plaques is a very, very good idea. I mean, it's undoubtedly we've lived through fairly historic times, and I think something physical like that actually sort of references the sort of the history that we've gone through is quite appropriate. So I'm happy that both councillors have proposed seconding all that usual crack, but just to pay a remark to that. Thank you, Chair.
Kathy, Councillor Mason, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, thanks. Look, again, it's more of a comment than a question. It's really just to thank Janine, because I know this came up through the, and Councillor McMurray was there as well, the Sleeve Group DEA meeting, and it was something that was discussed there. So I'd like to thank Janine for coming back on it, because I do think it's really, really important for the likes of those groups to have something, a keepsake, that'll always have for this kind of historic year or so that it's been, and some sort of tribute for the hard work that they have done. So thanks again, Janine.
Thank you.
Okay, Kathy, thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair, and I echo the sentiments of the three previous speakers and in relation to the work that went into the report, etc., from Janine, and also to the community groups and individuals right across the district who, over the period of the pandemic, have gone the extra mile and making many sacrifices to make sure that those in the community needed help and assistance received it. So it's nice to see a token of appreciation going from ourselves to those involved, to show our heartfelt appreciation for all that they've done. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item number 8, the draft MOU with regards to the COVID Food and Essential Items Transition Fund.
Yes, Chair Megan. This is the paper previously referenced in discussion this evening. So it's more money from DSC. It is for food and essential supplies, but it is a transition fund. And again, they're asking the hub and members to look in this longer term, more strategic approach to keeping the good work of the hub alive. It's a confirmed additional budget of over £143,000. We have met as officers with DSC. They have welcomed the approach that we have taken in the past to getting the money out on the ground through the hub, and they've asked us to continue doing that, subject to approval at committee tonight. So it's for approval for the recommendations contained within the report, Chair.
Okay, we'll have a proposer and seconder already, but we'll go with Barra. He's a question as well.
Yeah, Janine, just very, very briefly, just on the back of what we talked about in the previous item, I think this is a huge boost, this funding from the Department of Communities, and no doubt it'll be put to good use in strategically planning for the future coming out of this. So any money at this time to boost recovery will be gladly received.
Thank you, yeah.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And as I say, I do welcome the paper and the attachments outlining what is happening and the support that we provide to those in need and affected by the pandemic at this present time. I know my colleague, Councillor McKevitt, touched on the previous agenda item. I just said, will there be any plans in place for post-COVID if it will eventually emerge from the current lockdown and restrictions? I know it mightn't be a matter for us at this level, but maybe having an input into Stormont and other agencies, you know, in relation to designing a roadmap for post-COVID. But again, I welcome the paper and the proposals and the additional funding. It's very much welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item number 9, community allotments at My Community Centre.
Yes, Chair. My Community Centre is currently managed by the Community Association. We have a facilities management agreement with the group, and they have been in touch to seek approval to manage another part of the land on the site, and specifically they want to look at a men's shed programme, possibly including some community allotments. We would, on request like this, look to the sporting and community lease policy, but because it sits within the grounds of the community centre and they have an existing FMA, we're requesting approval that we extend the FMA and allow the group to make use of this piece of ground.
Okay, Aoife, Councillor Finnegan has proposed it into the question as well.
Yeah, no, just more of a comment. I just think this is a fantastic use of ground that's not already been used. Yeah, there should be more of it, and I think it's a fantastic initiative, and Sinn Féin are fully supportive of it. Thank you.
Francis McMurray has seconded, and he's also question comment, Melvin.
Hello. Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, I can't say I'm overly familiar with the Mike Community Centre, but when I read this piece in the paper, the report, I just thought that's fantastic. Gardens and you know, growing their own sort of vegetables, whatever, seems to be a bit of a, you know, it's certainly a thing this end of the district, so I'm sure it's a thing your end of the district too. What I would say is just, I'm just curious as well, is would there be a feeling amongst council that these sorts of things can and should be encouraged, you know, where suitable sites are found? Thank you, Chair.
What was the question? Are we encouraging those types of development?
Yeah, sorry, would there be a general feeling that these sorts of sites can and should be encouraged? Where it is found, you know what I mean? Again, I know that there are, coming back to this end of the district, there'd be certain areas that would be very keen to do this thing, and just, you know, what help and support is there, and can it be encouraged? Thank you, Chair.
No, definitely. If I can come back, Chair, absolutely, that's community engagement embodied, so we welcome that, welcome any approach from groups who are going to set up initiatives. I mean, they're running the centre for us, and now this is an added bonus, so yes, definitely thumbs up for us.
That's great, thank you. Farah, do you want to come in there?
Just listening to Andy there, I'm fully in support. I suppose, Andy, a lot of that is going on already with men sheds up and down the district, and I know the men shed in Newtown have a couple of polytunnels, and they've got gardens for allotments for growing vegetables and all that, and it has seen an unbelievable community involvement in it, where there was none of that available whenever I was growing up with that, and there's similar projects running up around Crossan Glen and that, and I'm sure Mark Gibbons would say that the men set up his end of the country is buying into that too. So it is fantastic to see community associations getting involved, tied in with men sheds and schools and that. It's just fantastic to see.
Thank you, Mara. Owen?
It was just on the back of Councillor McMurray's query there. Yeah, we have, I think at the moment there's financial assistance call out for community growing schemes, and the sustainability section is doing a lot of work with City Farms organisation to promote allotments in city and grow your own across the district. So.
Thank you. On Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it's just a quick comment regarding, I'll take the councillor hat on and put on the Irish Men Shed Association hat on. I'm on the board of it, and there's eight of us on the board of it, and there's close to 600 men sheds all around the island of Ireland now. And I have to say, as regards to our council, the support that the council have given men sheds, I would say from about 6 years ago, the Restrepery Men's Shed was up and running. I founded it, and now there's the Burn Men's Shed, the Warm Point Men's Shed, and Hilltown Men's Shed, and they've all got fantastic support from the council. So keep it going. It's brilliant to see, and there's more and more men's sheds popping up all over the place, and it's great to see evidence again here of the council supporting another one in Meath. And I see something similar will be happening with the Burn Men's Shed. Regards to allocation of a bit of land there beside the playground in Burn. So once again, the council is moving mountains to make sure that men sheds are available for everybody within the community. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Janine. Item number 10, financial assistance. Call one.
Yes, there are members, last report for me. This report highlights the outcomes from call one, which opened on the 18th of January. The main issues arising were within minor sports capital, where there were two clear categories. There were summer programmes and there were minor capital. So officers split those into two categories to mark them and applied a cap of £2,500 for the summer programmes to make sure we could fund as many groups as possible. The only other issue is that there's a budget deficit within sports minor capital and major capital, which is always the way. Sports is always a very popular fund and is always oversubscribed. So the recommendations, Chair, are to approve the appendices as attached and detail in all the things, to ratify the separation of the minor items and the sports development with that £2,500 cap. For approval for officers to undertake a mid-year budget review to try and find that shortfall of funding within sports minor capital. So just over £50,000 worth of funding we would be looking for, and to correspond with relevant groups so that we can try and get some of the pre-letter of offer conditions met before we issue the final letters of offer. So we're seeking approval for the recommendations as detailed, Chair. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay. No questions coming in.
Okay.
Just need a proposer and a seconder for that. Sorry, Councillor McMurray there has a question.
Hello. This is going to sound very pithy, so it is, but is there any? I read these reports, and I really struggle to differentiate the blue colours. Is there any way that there's, given the whole spectrum of colours that I'm sure are available, this sounds terribly pithy, I know, but again, if there's any way that a broader range of colours could be used, I'd be most appreciative from my end. Thank you, Chair.
Stay away from green and orange.
we'll try and pick colours that would suit all, but definitely through the chair, valid point. I find it myself. And just a point, if you do hover your mouse over the report, it will flash up what colour is against each section of the pie chart, but that had to be explained to me also. So if that's the recommendation, then I'll have more success in getting that changed for the next report, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a yellow man myself, but sure, that's more than that.
So, Councillor Gallagher has proposed to see the seconder. come in second fast now. Councillor Andrews is in there first to second that proposal to me. Okay, so item number 11, the Cycle Hub Down Leisure Centre in Dunleith Park. Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members will know from the report that Council Sports Development team has been working very closely with Cycling Ireland, and they are wanting to establish a cycle hub at Dunleith Park. And so essentially the recommendation of this report is that we establish the cycle hub in conjunction partnership with Cycling Ireland at Downpatch Leisure Centre, Dunleith Park, and that we enter into a licence agreement and memorandum of understanding with Cycling Ireland, and officers agree the detail of that with Council's legal team.
Councillor McMurray has a question.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chair. And again, yeah, I mean, this sounds like a really good development. And when it comes to cycling, and especially like as well the fact that there's a room there as well for either lessons on repairs or etiquette or things like that. So I think that's really, really good. All I would say as well, just, you know, obviously, I know Sustrans are very active as well in that regard, so it might be worth reaching out to them. And again, just also, this may be slightly further down the line, but I know it's often a case of keeping up with the Joneses, but I'm just wanting to draw the officers' attention to, and some of my Rowan councillors here might know as well, the Clinchy Community Centre has a bit of a cycle hub with it now as well, and a very, very extensive pump track. So again, I know that there's Down Park members are keen to develop that as a sports type area. But just if it could be put on there, I mean, I know pump tracks have been talked about in the likes of Newcastle before and all the rest of it. But again, it was just to draw the attention of the officers to the pump track in Clinchy. I mean, it's quite, I mean, it regularly gets over 30 people visiting, families. I mean, it's such a good utility, a good space. And it'd be maybe worth investigating this to see how that could be incorporated, if not here, certainly somewhere else. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, no problem. Cathy, Councillor Mason. You're on mute, Cathy.
Sorry. I'd like to second this because I was personally down that direction over the weekend, and it's such a vast area, and anything at all that basically could be done to improve down there or to actually get full use out of it would be fantastic. I was just wanting to ask, is there a time scale on it? When we know this, it might be in place. And also, I know my colleague, Councillor Hanlon, has been working very hard on some sort of bike parks down there. I think Andy had alluded to it there. Some sort of skate park or something like that. So I don't know whether it's something that would tie hand in hand, but there's definitely huge, vast area down there that would be fantastic to make more use out of it.
Okay, and I'll take Councillor Gallagher. I'm assuming has that question in as well, Paul, before you come in, or do you want to come in now?
No, I'm happy to hear them all. That's fine.
Okay. Councillor Gallagher.
Thanks, Chair. No, look, as everybody else, all the councillors are, I think it's a great idea to have cycling and to start promoting the aspect of active health regards to the cycling. One of the things that Councillor McMurray had brought up there is regards to the pump track. Now, I suppose being from Castlewell and Castlewell and Forest Park, we do have a pump track. Issue I have at the moment with the pump track, and it is constantly used, is it really needs, now the council's taken on, I'm wondering, where do we go, Paul, in regards to, this is kind of off-site, but some of the thing, the pump track really needs a bit of an upgrade. It's very, very bad, kind of, it's been used quite a lot, which is brilliant, but it's just something on the back of this, if it's something we could be looking at, Paul, in regards to that, or is that in our remit yet? Thanks, Chair.
Okay, well, Thanks, members, for your comments. In terms of the cycling hub and the partnership with Cycling Ireland, it is specifically around hubs and the establishment, if you like, of storage units and likes of a training facility at particular areas so that programs and initiatives can then be run and developed out of there. It's not so much associated with capital, although we will highlight maybe what you guys have discussed around pump tracks with Cycling Ireland. In terms of Dunleith Park, members may recall about the notice of motion that was previously there, and officers are working closely with the Downpatrick DEA members about developing proposals for that, and we'll certainly take the idea of a pump track along with that. In terms of Councillor Geller, we can maybe have a discussion internally with Andy Patterson, who's obviously Castle Welland Park, my understanding, sits under. And we can maybe also look at any sort of development around pump tracks in partnership with our walking trail development and those sorts of things too. But we'll get a look at that and hopefully be able to come back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Councillor O'Hare has a question there as well.
Yes, thanks, Chair. This is towards Paul here. Paul, obviously the pump track is being mentioned a lot, which is brilliant. I just want to know, is there any update on the meeting I had with Conor Hockey in the Hilltown Ardmore area about the pump track?
Yeah, Jerry, I know he's been on site from there, and I suppose that's now being developed through the community trail plan for that DEA. And I know that Aurea continue looking at funding around that, so that's probably still where it's at. We're still to agree at SLA with Aurea for this year, which is a report that's coming up soon, so there might be more clarity at that stage.
Right. Will there be a time scale now, Paul? I know it's hard to give time scales for these things, but I've been going on to this now probably the last 6-7 months, but eventually got the meeting, which was, it seemed pretty good, you know, but will there be any kind of time scale? Like, you're talking a year, 2 years, what way does this crack work, you know?
I suppose a lot of it's determined on funding, particularly with our community trail plans, which are reliant on external funding a majority of that funding. But yeah, I'd like to maybe think in the next certainly 12 to 18 months, Jerry, might have some progress and something on the ground.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, thank you. Item number 11 was proposed by Councillor McMurray and seconded by Councillor Mason. So we'll move on to item number 12, and the council pitch is being used for training purposes. So I'm going to hand that over to you because it was at your request it was put onto the agenda.
Yeah, thanks a million, Chair. And look, I put it on the agenda just on behalf of our party group, and it was, we received a lot of communication about this in the past few weeks, and I spoke with Paul earlier today on the phone about this here. Look, it was just, there was great excitement. We spoke about this maybe at this committee or in full council a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. And it was about the excitement of people returning to sport and getting back out on the pitches or getting back out onto whatever sporting arena that they're used to being at. And I remember specifically saying, could we make sure that our council pitches are brought into line with the reopening the same as other sports? Because we wouldn't want exactly what has happened now, that we wouldn't want teams, and especially underage teams and juvenile teams, that are totally reliant on council pitches being, you know, as they see it, discriminated against. Look, I see Kathy Mason's in there. It was affecting her down her end. There's none of these pitches in South Armagh, I have to say, and I wasn't getting contacted by anybody in Newry. It seemed to be a specifically South Down thing. I'm delighted that it was able to be put on the agenda, and thanks a million to everyone for agreeing to get it on the agenda.
No problem, Barra. Kathy, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks for allowing it to go onto the agenda tonight as well. As Barra has alluded to there, we have down this area, and I know that Councillor Hanlon will agree with me here, have been completely inundated with calls on this. The clubs are contacting us feel, and rightly so as far as I'm concerned, that they're being discriminated against, while every other sports club in the county basically is able to get out on a bike and training again. And look, it's very, very hard not to agree with them on it. We're preaching about getting out and getting active, and but yet we're putting obstacles in their way. Look, I completely understand that there are going to be issues with ground maintenance, but surely in these unforeseen circumstances, some of these pitches can be opened, or at least areas of them can be reopened. I know there was issues maybe around seeding around the goal mouths and stuff like that. Well, surely can we not just cordon these off and make different areas so that at least the kids can get out and about slightly? Again, I know that there's going to be another issue with the actual council policy. The fact that pitches, the policy stating that pitches are not for training but for matches only. And look, again, I understand that this might be the policy that's in place, but again, we're in completely unforeseen circumstances here. We need to take into account that you know, we haven't been in this position before, and we really, really have to prioritise getting these children and young adults out and about and training again for the sake of their own mental health and wellbeing. To be honest with you, I think it also, you know, further highlights an issue that we do have underdeveloped and underinvested sports facilities, specifically for soccer. And also, as far as, well, I suppose I'm a bit parochial here, and Councillor Hannan will agree, specifically around the Downpatrick area as well. So I think this should actually open up a larger conversation about the sustainability of our local youth leagues and stuff, and plans we put in place for the meeting the needs of the future of these clubs, because at the minute it's just not there. So I actually want to make a proposal that we make a decision here, that we take a common sense approach in this, and that the council will contact these clubs that have been affected to make some sort of arrangement for the use of these pitches, and then from that have a look at the council policy again and update it in some way that training can be allowed, just to come to some arrangement on it. Thanks, Chair.
You're on mute.
Yes, there, yeah. We'll go ahead with Councillor McMurray and Councillor Hanlon before. Yeah, is that okay? Councillor McMurray?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose I'm possibly slightly clutching at straws here, a slight segue in regarding where we play our sport, and in this case it's pitches, but I'm just wondering if there's any update just around the swimming pools. Just I kind of thought there maybe would have been in this report or in this sort of section that sort of a wider subject on how we return to sport, and swimming pools being one of them. So apologies if it's a slight segue there, but I thought I'd try my luck in that regard. Thank you, Chair. And happy to support but that Councillor Mason's proposal. I think Councillor Mirror Murray's seconding it, so thank you.
Okay. Anna, Councillor Hanlon, do you want to come in?
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks for letting me speak. I know I'm not a member of this committee, but as my colleagues have alluded to, it does seem to be more of an issue in this part of the district. I have been inundated with calls and texts and messages, emails from the local clubs who are so disappointed and they're talking about juveniles here. You know, they're talking about wee kids that just want to go out and kick about and train. And, you know, given the size of Dunleith, there shouldn't be any reason. And I'm going to say Dunleith in particular because it seems to be the one that's creating the most issues. But there shouldn't be any reason why one of the pitches could be closed off to do this. Now, I'm not an expert in soccer or maintenance, but I just felt, and I'll be perfectly blunt about it, that the reception I got and the responses I got from the officers were basically batting one directorate off against another, and maybe we could have worked a wee bit closer together and had a bit of foresight for this happening. I know we wouldn't have known when the restrictions were going to lift, but, you know, for all the reasons that are there, there's still a wealth of children in this area who want to go out and play in the camp. So I would definitely agree if we could make a decision tonight and try and resolve this, even in the short term. I think that would be really welcome.
Thank you, Anna. Paul, do you want to come in?
I think the members, I know there's been certainly a lot of discussion around the protocol, if you like, of training on grass pitches. We have been working collaboratively, if you like, with our neighbourhood services department around the maintenance and about the preservation of our pitches for matches.
The announcements that just came on the 16th of April now allow matches to return from this Friday, the 23rd. And so that's another thing that needs to be taken in consideration. And we're trying to work with our neighbourhood services department about matches about to be scheduled and booked on all pitches across the district, which I suppose adds another a bit of an issue around preservation of pitches during training. So, but we're happy to work with the clubs and try and designate some grass pitches across the district or particularly in the Downpatrick area that might be available for use. I know, Councillor Hanley, you've specifically said Dunleith. We do have pitches that are potentially, officers have identified pitches that I suppose don't have any home team associated with them and therefore unlikely to have any matches going forward. But, you know, the likes of Valley Kindler, however, we think that that might be an issue for some of the clubs that might designate that. But if members specifically want to utilise the likes of Dunleith, we can do that. However, it probably will come with a caveat of the preparation of for matches. It, you know, we're at a time, according to our maintenance department, you know, it's a very sensitive time around the germination and stuff like that of the likes of our grass pitches. And so essentially it's up to members, really, if they would like us to designate those types of pitches. And I don't know whether Michael wants to add to that.
Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. And apologies for being late, but unfortunately I had an appointment that I had to go to. Yes, Chair, thanks for letting me in. Members will obviously be aware, it's important to note that we have a number of 2G and 3G artificial sports surfaces, the Shield Pitch and Dunleith, for example, which are all open for training. So it's not that there's nothing for training. We have talked, worked with our colleagues in neighbourhood services, Paul has said, and there are a number of pitches which we believe we could make available for training also. I'm quite content with the proposal as it stands. If you're happy for us as officers to go off and try and make that work as best we can, taking into account what Paul has said, which is matches are going to resume very shortly as well, which is going to put an awful lot of pressure on these pitches. But I think it's fair to say these are very unusual circumstances. Nobody foreseen this coming. The pitches have been rested over the winter when they normally would have been played. Part of the issues around sowing of grass and various other maintenance works that have to be taken during drier weather, which is generally around now. So we're working with them. We believe that working with neighbourhood services and the grounds maintenance teams, we have identified a number of pitches. Paul's talked about Ballykindler. There's obviously the 3G pitch out of Ballyhornan. There's potential to designate one in Dunleith. There are a number of other pitches across the district which we'd probably, certainly on this side of the district, that we could designate. In terms of underinvestment in football in this area, and especially training, our sports facility strategy did identify the need for a number of additional 3G pitches, and that's something that we're very keen to progress. We have looked at the option of a 3G pitch in Dunleith, and we're bringing that forward to the Downpatrick DEA councillors very soon. I think there's a meeting arranged for the end of this month where we're going to look at that issue. Part of the problem, obviously, is flooding in around Downpatrick or Drumlins, and it's very expensive, but we are looking at that. We're working with schools to try and open up as many new 3G pitches as we can. But in terms of underinvestment in soccer, I think it's important to note that on the other side of the district, it's mainly GEA. GEA has a great funding model. The GEA, many people have said, have not been funded as well as football over the years, and that's because they're inclined to fund their own pitches, whereas we fund all of the pitches on this side of the district and maintain them, and for football, primarily for soccer. And it's an issue I take up with the IFA all the time. The IFA, and football more broadly needs to invest more in grassroots football and not leave it all to, local councils to do. But look, we're very, very happy to do what we can to allow this training to happen. So therefore we'll work, as hard as we can to try and make this recommendation that you're passing tonight go ahead. I presume all the councillors are happy that we do that immediately rather than waiting for the council meeting to happen, on the basis that this is a very exceptional set of circumstances. We're not ignoring the policy that the council has in terms of training, but we're working with neighbourhood services to open those pitches, which we can do, if that's okay.
Council Mason, is there any chance you could forward us the actual clubs? I know we know which clubs they are, but if you could actually forward them to us from the south directly, at least there's no ambiguity then at that stage about contacting them and being in touch.
Yeah, no problem. Between myself and Councillor Hannan, we'll pull together the list of those clubs. That's just actually what I'd want to clarify there, what I'm coming in with, that you guys will contact those clubs directly then, and as a matter of urgency. And just on, Michael, on your own point, I completely agree with you with the IFA comment and stuff like that as well. I know that you've always been very forthcoming in coming and speaking to soccer clubs and stuff with me. So I do agree on that point. But I just think, you know, in the longer term plans, we need to keep this in mind. And I know that this sports facility strategy is there to combat that. I know that the other pitch down at Dunleith there was mentioned, but I think it is, like Councillor Hannan said, it's young kids we're talking about here, and we don't really want to be putting them onto that gravel surface as well. So I think it would be ideal if we could just get something opened as a matter of urgency. And then, like I say, going forward, if we can have a look at the policy, just to see, because we don't want to come up against the same issue next year. If there can be maybe a certain area designated within Dunleith or wherever it is that might continue to stay open at this time of the year. But again, look, I know that'll need to be worked out through neighbourhood services as well and grounds maintenance. So thanks again.
Sorry, through the chair, can I just maybe add to that? And I think this is also a combination of a number of alternative pitch arrangements that aren't available to some clubs that would be available in normal years as well. And so I think that's exacerbated the issue quite a bit. And maybe this time next year, hopefully, we definitely won't be in that position, and those other alternatives to clubs will also still be available.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Councillor McCabot?
Yeah, thanks very much, Leanne. Just agree with what's been said, particularly from Michael and the IFA and that grass root football and the investment needs to come from them. And that's not just an issue that has been raised just recently. It's been something, the lack of investment for that is years, and where other clubs, like the GAA, for an example, have moved on. Do you know what I mean? It's very visible in every community that the lack of soccer investment from the hierarchy, if you like, or from their headquarters has been very, very poor, and that's been very mild on it. I'm wondering, would it be helpful if this was to be taken up at the Neighbourhood Services Committee, which also sits this week as well, to smooth the transition of anything that could be done in their department as well. On that, maybe we should put that on as an extra item, if that's helpful.
To the chair, listen, I suppose it's up to members, but we might have that sorted, hopefully, by the time that the neighbourhood services sit. Essentially, pitches, I suppose, sit with ourselves and as AHC, and if the decision is to talk to these clubs and try to designate positions and designate one and done leaf, then that's what we'll do, and hopefully that will resolve the issue.
Okay, thanks. Happy that.
Councillor Hannan, you want to come in there again?
If you don't mind, thanks. Yes, Chair. It's just a comment on, I do appreciate that it is you know, really unusual times, and I do appreciate that you are working quickly to try and resolve it. I have no problem passing over the details of the club that in particular, it is the Youth League, so it does touch a couple of them, but there is one in particular. And also, you know, just to say, I do understand there is 3G pitches and there are other potential alternatives, but the clubs themselves wanted to have it locally. So I personally think the best outcome for the clubs would be to have a designated area in Dunleith, if that can be possible. So, like I say, I'll pass it on, and I do appreciate your responses this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we're happy to go with Cathy's proposal that she has made, and Councillor O'Murray has seconded that proposal. Donna, do you need that put across or anything from Cathy, or is everybody happy enough?
I'm content, but if Councillor Mason wishes to clarify, but if I'm content.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to double check with yourself. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Okay. Can I check the seconder for that? It was, I have got Councillor O'Murray.
Yes, that's right.
That's fine.
Oh, my Barra. Oh, yeah, Barra, second that. Okay, so item number 13 is the fair trade signage. Owen, if you want to come in.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, the Council has had fair trade district status now since 2018, and we've successfully renewed their accreditation since then. So there's a fair trade steering group which includes some elected members, and the steering group have requested that we put up some fair trade district signs to recognise and highlight the district's achievement of fair trade status. So we've looked at the options, and there are three options. Option one is to implement signage on all the 21 boundary signs across the district. Option two was a rolling programme of putting up fair trade district status signs on council-owned green space. And option three was to do nothing about this and just promote it via our social media channels. Any signage we put up obviously will be put up in recognition of the council's policy on policy, language policy, etc. And the opposite recommendation was that we went with option one, which would be to implement the district signage across the district on all 21 boundary signs. And we have the cost of that's around £1,100, and we have that available in assistant budgets. So just looking for permission to proceed with that course of action, if that's what members agree.
Sorry, Councillor Andrews has a question.
Thanks very much, Chair. It's more of a comment. I'm only too happy to propose that we go ahead with the option. I served briefly on the Council's Fair Trade Group prior to the 2019 elections, and I've seen it firsthand the good work that they've done, and also Dr. Christopher Stang, the High Commissioner, for his support, amongst others, for making more people aware of fair trade. And it's good to see in recent times a lot of our major retailers have embarked on merchandising and supporting fair trade budgets in their premises. But again, I said we're too happy to propose and support the recommendation that we proceed to erect fair trade signs across the district. Thanks very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor O'Hare has a question.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. In my eyes now, basically the geo-language signs, the signs as you enter, welcome to Newry and Mourne, and over around my area, and I'm sure other areas, basically a lot of them has been damaged. They've been just scraged out, you know. I don't know if this fair trade sign will be even worthwhile doing it, because it could be a waste of money, basically. My eyes, doing it online would just be as handy, because there's no point putting it on if it's going to be scourged out again, you know. Because a lot of signs around the Crockleave area, the bilingual ones, are, you know, my head's getting tortured of getting new signs up because they're being scourged out, when the Irish is being scourged out. That's my opinion, innit? But I'm sure other councillors have their own opinion.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Barr, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, just on a similar vein to Jerry, suppose just like all councillors, I don't think there's going to be a councillor who's going to say they're not in favour of fair trade, and our council becoming identifiable with the Fair Trade logo everywhere online, on their corporate website, on everything, and that's not going to cost a penny. My fear would be, and it's, you know, you can't say it's an unfounded fear, is that every boundary sign that has gone up outside of Newtown has been defaced and damaged, causing thousands of pounds. Now, as Jerry says, it's because there's Irish language on it, but to put up a sign again that's bilingual with a Fair Trade sign on the bottom of it and for it to be damaged again would be throwing good money after bad, because it's been said, like, it's got to the stage where we've quit even asking for the boundary sign to be replaced. You know, you're better to have no boundary sign and not let people know what district they're in, rather than wasting the ratepayers' money on putting up more signs. So if you look at the way society's going anyway, and the way we advertise everything as a council, and, you know, our website, our fantastic website, our PR department, our Twitter feed, our Instagram, whatever we're using, and if we've got a Fair Trade logo attached on the strap line of it for the next month, for the next 6 months, for the next 12 months, or forever, I don't mind. I think that that's an excellent way forward out there. It's just, look, if you all voted that you'd want to put it on new signs at a cost to the ratepayers, and that's fine, but for me it makes far more sense to put it somewhere that can't be damaged.
Thank you, Barra. Kathy, do you want to come in?
Yeah, thanks, sure. Look, just the previous two speakers, I agree 100%. I think we'd be much better used just going out on social media and advertising it along those lines. I'm just thinking of myself here, and some of our towns and villages still are operating or still have the old Down District Council signage as you go in. Now, I know these are different signs, but I would much prefer to see the money invested in the likes of those signage. Don't get me wrong, I think we should be advertising this, but I do think that it would be much better to use the money in other areas and just promote this on social media.
Thank you, Kathy. Councillor Gallagher.
Thanks, Chair. Like the rest of the speakers, I fully agree. I think it is unfortunate and sad that signs get ripped, knocked down, and God knows whatever, and it is a waste of money. And I do think, say, as Councillor Murray had said, you know, it is the age of the internet, social media. So I would agree that we don't put physical signs out there just to be taken down again. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, so Owen, do you want to come back in there?
I have no issue whatsoever. I say the proposal had come from the steering group, so I don't know, Chair, what happens now with the initial proposal. Was the initial recommendation was proposed, was it? Or be guided by
Mike? There was no specific option proposed, so I don't know. There was nothing. No option actually indicated on what was being proposed.
Chair, sorry, can I go back in? Did I not mention in my speech option one, that we do proceed with the recommendation that was outlined by the officer in option one, and it was proposed, and then
yes, you did say that, Terry.
Thanks, Leon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrews. I'm not sure what way that goes on.
Yeah, I think it was proposed to himself, and then there was a couple of seconders come in. I think Andy Councillor McMurray came in, and then Councillor Gallagher came in with the next. So unless what happens is that it's been proposed and seconded that we do go to the vote, and whatever the vote is, well then, I'll bind to the decision of the vote, but I go to what I propose. Thank you. But I respect the outcome of the committee. I'm a Democrat.
I'm going to second Councillor Andrews' proposal.
Yeah, it's been proposed and seconded, Chair, then we just need to put it to a vote.
Okay,
would you like me to call out the names?
Go ahead, Charlotte.
And this is just for show of hands, so I'm taking a verbal vote on this, okay?
Thanks very much.
Councillor Andrews.
For the motion, thank you.
Councillor Casey.
Councillor Casey had leave at 7, Donna.
Fine. Councillor Finnegan?
Against.
Councillor Gallagher?
I suppose I, because I was spoken to say, I would be against it.
Councillor Gibbons?
Against.
Councillor Mason?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy?
I'm sorry, against.
Councillor McKevitt?
For.
Councillor McMurray?
For.
Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor O'Mara?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Traynor is absent. Councillor Walker? Sorry, is Councillor Walker still with us?
Councillor Walker's no longer on, Donna.
Okay. Thank you. That's 3-4 and 8 against.
Okay, so the motion has fallen.
Okay, so Barra in the chat has proposed option 3.
Yeah, Chair. I was speaking not much about option 3 and about the need to not necessarily put up signs that I forgot to use the word propose, but certainly my intention was to propose option 3.
Yeah.
That's fine. Chair, if we can get a seconder for that, then we can just put this to the vote as well.
Yeah, Councillor Mason has seconded option 3. And I'm assuming Councillor Andrews 4 was for his own proposal.
That's correct, yes it was.
Okay.
Unless there's consensus now, do you want to put the vote, or is everybody in agreement that we go for option 3?
I'm happy enough, Chair.
Yes, Chair. As I said, I'm a Democrat and I've been the vote of the committee, and as I say, since option 3 has been proposed, well, I say I respect the committee's decision and to go ahead with that.
I'm happy as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, so am I, yeah. Just add that in there.
No problem. Thank you, Ewan. Item number 14, sustainable NI annual report.
Yes, thanks, Chair. This is an annual funding request from Sustainable Northern Ireland, and we're asking the committee to consider to agree to provide the funding of £5,000 for Sustainable Northern Ireland and to sign the attached SLA with Sustainable Northern Ireland. This is an annual thing. They provide an element of consultancy to us as well, and they provide an awful lot of help, a useful support to the work of Sustainable Development Climate Change Forum. So, just looking for approval to provide the funding. Is it within the budgets?
Yeah, well, Barra has proposed it and Councillor McKevitt has seconded it. Okay, so item number 15, the funding support for HSENI Partnership Liaison Officer.
Thank you, Chair. This is an arrangement where the councils, the 11 councils and the Health and Safety Executive can both contribute, all 12 organisations contribute to a partnership liaison officer who arranges joint work on agreed priorities regarding, you know, occupational health and safety. This has been in place since 2002, but with a couple of interruptions. And just the report is really to just get council approval for the arrangement now. Since the original model, we know it used to be that Health and Safety Executive paid for half of it, and the 26 councils at that time paid the other half. But now it's been split more equitably, so it's been divided in 12. And so each of the councils in the HSE contribute 1/12. Lisburn and Castlereagh employ the person, and they're seconded on this basis. So it's just really to consider and agree that we provide the funding to support this officer and the cost is within the estimates. And it's actually this year, it is actually one of our own staff who's been seconded to this role. So for the time being, their time is taken up really with coronavirus work, but that won't be the case in the longer term. So just looking for approval to provide that funding, to continue to provide that funding.
Thank you.
Councillor O'Hare has proposed.
Second, please.
I'm happy to second it, Donna.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, item number 16, the Committee for Infrastructure consultation.
Thank you, Chair. The Committee for Infrastructure in Stormont have written to the Council looking for views regarding the decarbonisation of road transport. So we're looking for permission. As was mentioned earlier, it's another one of these consultations which didn't give us ample time to put the committee first of all. So the return that's attached was requested by the date of the 14th of April on the caveat that would need council approval. So we're just looking that committee agree that they're happy with the attached response.
Okay, Councillor Andrews, have you a comment that you would like to
make? Yes, just more or less, I'd like to thank Owen for his report and for his request. And time and time again in this council, we have discussed the debate on motions on green renewable energy and, as I say, in relation to improving the carbon footprint. I think this is now a step along the way, showing our commitment to achieving that goal over the period allotted. So I'm only too happy to propose and endorse the officer's comments that and get the go ahead for him to finish off with the consultation to submit it in due course. Thank you.
No problem. So that's proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Murray. Okay, so items number 17 to 20 are for noting, but if anybody wishes to make a comment, the officers will be happy to take. So if you just want. Yes, Aoife, Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you, Leanne. Just on item 17, the areas at risk funding. Just a quick comment, very welcomed that this £24,000 to these identified areas is going to be coming forward. The feedback I got from constituents that were able to use these services have shown, you know, keen interest in additional programmes that may be rolled out with this money and further what they have already done. And there's also other residents in the area that would be able to be able to avail of them. So it's just very much welcome for the areas of Cross the Glen and Bessbrook. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Aoife. So that leads us on to items 21 to 23, and these items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. So Donna, I'll give you a minute.
Can I have a proposal?
Yeah.
Yes, please, Chair. Yes, please.
To go into committee. Okay, so I think Councillor Andrews and Councillor Gallagher.
That's brilliant. Just give us a minute, Chair. Thank you. Yes, no problem.
I'm for that because of declared interest beginning. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Chair, that's the press back in and recording has now started.
Okay, Donna, do you want to go ahead and read out? Would you be happy to do that for them three items?
Yes, certainly, Chair, no problem.
Thank you.
With me here. Okay, whilst in closed session, the following items were discussed. Item 21, Ballyholland JAC lease consent to develop land. It is agreed on the proposal of Councillor Herr, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, to consent to Ballyholland Parks JAC developing council-owned land currently leased to the club as per the terms of the lease and subject to planning permission being granted for the proposed development. Leasing of council land and facilities is persons of interest. It is agreed on the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, seconded by Councillor Murray, to note the contents of the report and that expressions of interest for the following land and facilities progress to stage 2 the Sport and Leasing Policy Society 16, Moorhill Quarry, adjacent to Newry Recycling Centre, Newry, Derry Lackey Field and Land, adjacent to Derry Lackey Playing Fields, Newry, Generator House, adjacent to the Yacht Club in the Castle, Burn Village Green Field Land, adjacent to Play Park and Community Centre, Burn, Drumminaes Cricket Pitch, adjacent to Dan Rice Memorial Hall, Drumminaes, and Drumminaes Soccer Pitch, adjacent to the Dan Rice Memorial Hall, Drumminaes. Item 23, feasibility study for battery storage pilot. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McMurray, second by Councillor Gallagher, for officers to procure the feasibility study to assess the suitability of council community buildings with PV for battery storage pilot. And that was all the items that were discussed by the committee chair.
That's the end for our agenda. Thank you very much, Donna, for reading that out. And that's us for tonight. And thank you, everybody.
Thanks so much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Good to see you back.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thank you.